Hi, I'm Peyton, and you're listening to The Real Vintage Podcast.
Welcome to The Real Vintage Podcast with your host, Stephen Cox, on today's episode.
Well, I'm targeted much more than my other siblings.
Are you really?
I am. I'm in trouble.
How so?
I'm in trouble 95% of the time.
Okay.
All that and more coming up next.
Hey, everybody. Welcome back to The Real Vintage Podcast, and I'm Stephen Cox. I'm your host, and glad that you could join us today on this pretty awesome day that we're having. And man, the feedback that we got from the last podcast with my wife Rebecca, that she was she kind of joined us on there, and we were talking about the 5 years anniversary and some things that she had kind of learned through it, I guess, and just her insight on some things, and of course, struggles, discouragement, different stuff that we go through as well. And we got so much positive feedback from that. And keep liking our podcast, keep sharing, and keep commenting. I've got several really kind texts from people that we have not really heard from or connected with in quite some time. And they found our podcast. So it was kind of cool to listen to that and get some of those. Rebecca received some messages. And so always a blessing to hear from people that we just know that people are listening and downloading the podcast, and we're just glad that you're with us today. The Real Vintage Podcast, we rebooted about 4 episodes ago. We took a little time off, just getting some priorities adjusted, and we got this thing launched back. So help us out by listening and telling somebody about it. It's always a blessing to connect with you guys on here on The Real Vintage Podcast. I do have a guest with me today, and it's the very special guest. Matter of fact, it's her first time on the podcast, and it's my lovely daughter, Peyton. Peyton, tell us what's happening this coming Sunday.
It's my birthday.
It's your birthday. All right. How old are you going to be?
14.
14 years old. And what grade are you going into this fall?
Ninth
grade. So how was eighth grade in the middle school? Did you have a pretty good year?
Yeah, it was pretty good.
Yeah? So yeah. Grades were good?
Yeah.
How was soccer?
It was okay.
Yeah. So I had to kind of twist her arm a little bit to get her to come on. Even though Peyton is one of the funniest people you'll ever meet in your life, she loves to have a good time. You get her in front of people, and she acts so strange. Like she kind of clams up and doesn't like to talk to people. So I thought, well, hey, let's get her on the podcast. And she just she's sitting over there looking at me. Big 14 this coming Sunday. We've got a little party on Saturday with some of her friends, and we're looking forward to that. And Peyton's very special. She's our middle child. She'll let you know that if you have a conversation with her. Not sure. Do you think you have middle child syndrome?
I do.
You do? So it's kind of the victim. Yeah,
it's really bad.
Is it?
Yeah, it actually
well,
is.
Well, explain to me maybe one scenario that you feel like you get outed in maybe the victim of the middle child.
Well, I'm targeted much more than my other siblings.
Are you really?
I am. I'm in
How
trouble.
How so?
I'm in trouble 95% of the time.
Okay.
And they don't. So it's a hard life for me.
Oh, wow. Yeah. All right. Well, I don't know if we got any listeners that are the middle child, but if you are, maybe you can relate with my daughter, Peyton. I believe she's been a little over. You don't think you deserve any of the things that come to you, maybe in way of punishment or chastening?
90% of the time, it might be my fault, but the other 10% still stands.
Ah, man, just, so you've got it down to a percentage. Wow, okay. So, all right. Well, I still think you got it pretty good. Do you?
I mean, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Well, Peyton is my middle daughter, and we love her very much. She brings much joy and happiness to our home. And as you just heard, though, she will embellish a little bit. And today's kind of family day. I brought, matter of fact, I have my other daughter sitting at the desk over there, Colby. Say hey, Colby.
Hi.
All right. I hope you heard that. And she is kind of in here, too. Jake's in another part of the building, and we just decided to make today kind of a family-centered podcast. I guess we've talked about the family the last few weeks on the podcast, but here, really today's goal is prioritizing your life and your ministry. Let me make a couple statements about that and about this. If you do not learn to prioritize your daily and weekly schedule, you will have little things that will take away from needful things. What I mean by that is making a daily schedule, no matter if you're ministry or if you're a lay person in a church or if you're just in life in general, if you don't learn to prioritize or weekly schedule things, it will not be long until little things will come and take you away from the most important things. So I have learned through these last, especially being a pastor the last 5 years, I've learned to prioritize my life in some areas. I'm going to share that with you. They're broken down into three segments of my what I call priorities. First, of course, is my family. Second is ministry, of course, church. And then third is what I would call hobbies and other things. We're going to take three podcasts and we're going to talk about these three categories. And then we will kind of, in priority, put some things in there. And I want to give you a couple ideas today and thoughts about priorities. Things do pop up. You've got to learn to adjust your schedule as a pastor. You know, unexpected sicknesses, unexpected deaths in the church, unexpected things in family. You just have to learn to adjust. Learn to make good daily habits, both spiritual, of course, reading your Bible, praying, those things, studying your Bible. Those things are a priority. We'll get to that, but also physical. We'll talk about exercise, bodily exercise, doing some things there that will help you there. Also look at your day and find the most important things and push them to the front. So I have a schedule that I keep on my phone. I'm going to give you the name of the app. It's called Todoist. You've probably heard it. It's been around for a while, but I literally take this app. I put in there, you can kind of tap the plus button and add a task. Those things will remind you. I'll put them in priority. For instance, I had two people on Sunday that asked me to stop by their house sometime this week. Well, one asked me to stop by and talk to them. They're not able to really get out that good. So they had told me to come by. And then another person who is sick in our church asked me to come by and have a word of prayer with them. So you know what I did on Sunday evening? I put those two things in my priority list because I knew I would be out of town at the end of the week and just a couple days that we'd had scheduled with my family. And I knew I had to get it done by Wednesday. So those were priorities in my life that I had to get done in order to meet with those people. So here's my life. My life is that I'm a husband of 16 years and a dad of three. I've already introduced my daughter Peyton, who's on the podcast today. So, and then of course my 8-year-old over in the corner. Her name is Colby. And then of course I have a 15-year-old boy. His name is Jake. And I'm a dad, I'm a husband, and they all obviously have needs, and my wife has needs, and we also have wants as a family. So I broke down my family. I have family time as a priority, family needs as a priority, family wants, and then family travels. All of those are broken down into kind of some categories. Of course, the needs and the time, they come first. I'll explain that in just a little bit. My second category that we'll talk about possibly next week is a pastor of a growing church. The church that I pastor, we on average have about 400 folks to 450 on any given Sunday morning in several services that we have. That is all over our campus, but that is a lot of people for one man to shepherd, and I'm thankfully I have a good team here to do so, but still, I pastor a growing church. I'll explain about that in just a little bit. I preach expositionally. I've only been doing that for the last 5 years because I didn't even know really what that was before I became pastor as far as what expositional preaching truly was. And it's been a life changer and a ministry changer for me. But I do study much of the Bible as far as what I'm going to preach, books of the Bible and different things. Currently in the book of Jonah, just finished Colossians. I'm loving this book as far as my study time, and I give much time to study. Also, discipleship time. I personally disciple men and people, leaders, and so each week. And then fellowship time with families. I counted just this week from Sunday to Sunday, we will have fellowshipped with like 12 different families because in the summertime, it's a huge fellowship time for my family to invite folks to our home or to take them out to lunch. And I'll explain more about that. Also, other things. Another category that I have, of course, is exercise. As I said earlier, hobbies, projects at home. My wife and I are remodeling a home behind our house. It's taken much time. Of course, I'm not doing... I've started out doing some of the work, but we have a lot of contractors in and out of the house trying to get this thing ready. So it takes a lot of time. As you've heard, three categories. Of course, my family comes first, and we know God comes first, but you know what I mean? God has given us the family, the institution He first originated. Of course, I have my church that God has called me to shepherd, and then I have some extra time there that you have, and of course those are broken down into priorities as well. So here's some thoughts about my priorities when it comes to my family. And again, maybe next week we'll talk about the pastoring and some priorities that I do in shepherding our flock. But today I'm shepherding my family. So here's some things. My daughters are here, of course, and they can hear these things as well and know they're true. But each week, I have determined as a dad, as a husband, that I am to have at least four meals with my family. Now, in a busy world, my daughter, she played soccer and practiced after school. My son is currently, even in the summertime, he's been practicing football. They started about a month and a half ago, believe it or not, for fall football. And so busy schedules, but we determined as a family a long time ago to sit together and have meals together around our kitchen table. Or if we are out, we go out, we'll have a meal together. But we don't sit in different rooms. We don't do, you know, all that stuff. We are together as a family eating meals at least four times a week. I realize too that you know, if you're a second shift worker and or this and that, that it can throw some of those things off. Maybe you won't have four, but determine to have some. Either lunch or supper with your children. Use the summertime as a great thing. Second thing is this. My wife and I have lunch or supper together at least once a week, just us. My daughter will tell you, our kids are getting old enough. My son's 15, my daughter's 14 Sunday, and then, of course, we got the little one. But they are good about kind of if Rebecca and I want to go out, get something to eat, I'll say, hey, Peyton, Jake, go watch Colby, and we'll be back in a little bit. And you know what? They don't mind it at all. We trust them, right? Is there any reason why we shouldn't?
No,
No, actually, Peyton is excellent on watching her younger sister. I don't know about Jake. How would you kind of on a scale to 1 to 10, Jake watching y'all?
Jake doesn't really watch us.
I didn't think so.
Of Jake upstairs. Yeah. Comes down to eat, and then he comes back upstairs.
Okay. So that's pretty good. Actually, it's pretty accurate there. So Peyton does a lot of the watching and the babysitter. She's an excellent babysitter, by the way. So we have lunch, though, supper, a date, at least once a week at some point. She's busy. Matter of fact, right now she's showing a couple houses. I've had the kids in the afternoon. She had the kids this morning. It's just one of those things where we try to compliment one another and help each other out. Also, number three, I help drop off and pick up my kids from school and practice. Peyton will vouch for this. Rebecca and myself, we both kind of share roles with taking the kids to school or picking them up for practice. This morning, I picked Jake up from practice. He had a doctor's appointment, so Rebecca ran him to the doctor. And, you know, it's just one another. You know, we schedule these things out. Helping one another. It shouldn't fall on one if you can possibly help it. Also, number four, I very rarely miss a home football or soccer game. So Peyton had soccer this year. When I say home, some of them are a good distance away, so we're not able to travel with the team and all that. That maybe their senior year, junior years, will travel, you know, an hour and a half away and watch them play every game. But this year we determined to make it to every home game, whether Jake played that home game or Peyton did, and we tried to watch them play. It's big. It's big. They've put in a lot of practice. They've put in a lot of time and a lot of effort, and my daughter scored some goals this year that we were able to see. My son played football this year. He's going to be playing this year. It's going to be his 10th grade year, and he's going to be playing starting defensive lineman on JV football. So that's a big deal to me. He's only going to be in that role one time in his life, and I want to see it. Then let me say this. Number five, the ministry comes in behind my family in a list of priorities. And by the way, you do not have to sacrifice either one. You don't have to sacrifice your ministry or your family. I feel like you can blend both of those, and it marries beautifully. What I mean by that is my family loves the ministry. So, Peyton, we got VBS in a couple weeks. Are you involved in VBS?
Yeah.
How are you involved?
I'm working with the kids some with, you know, skits and all that.
So you got skit practice when?
About 20 minutes.
About 20 minutes. So, yeah. My daughter, though she's, you know, going into the ninth grade, we are involved. She's funny, and of course, the kids love her, and she's been recruited in helping in the adult VBS, one of the skits they do each night. It's not a drudgery. It's not something that we have to pull teeth and say, hey, we want you to serve. My kids actively serve in the ministry, and I believe you can have both. You don't have to sacrifice one or the other. Matter of fact, my son, on Sunday mornings, he runs our slides for the song service and in the 11 o'clock for the song service and for my preaching. So, for instance, when I'm changing verses, he clicks and goes to the next verse. Or if I have another verse I want to use, he'll go to that verse. And he's very good at it, and he's involved in it. He feels like he's doing something for his church. So my family loves the ministry. Of course, my wife, she's very heavily involved in the ministry here, a very vital part of it. And then number two, my family's involved and loves the ministry. Number three, I try to take them to special ministry events so they can enjoy the journey. What I mean by that is something that's real special. I want my family to be involved in it so they can enjoy it. The ministry, there's sometimes it's very hard, it's very challenging, it's very grueling, but there's some parts of the ministry that my family really enjoys, and it's really refreshing. It will either be a conference or a meeting or something they can go to and enjoy. And then number six, one of the things that I'd like to share with you is I have almost stopped traveling and preaching in other churches or ministries. So there was one year, I think in 2015 and 14, both of those years, I was at the peak of it seemed like traveling. I think both of those years was 35 churches apiece. So in 2 years, I preached in 70 meetings, or 35 apiece was where I was, where I kind of cut it off. That is a lot of churches. That's a lot of meetings. Some of that involved youth choir travels. I mean, there was a time where in the summertime we were traveling with youth choir twice a week, preaching, camps, conferences, from California to Maine. I have almost stopped that because of the air travels, the weekly travels. I'm going to give you a reason why. It's not that I don't enjoy preaching. It's one of my favorite things in the world to do. It's not that I don't enjoy being around pastors and seeing other works. I love that. But let me give you the true reasons why I've stopped just about all of my traveling as far as preaching. First of all, I'm not an evangelist. I have no desire to be. I don't enjoy the traveling aspect of that part. But let me give you the real reason. The real reason is I have two high schoolers at home, and I have an 8-year-old at home. And I've got 3 years with my son until he's 18. I've got 4 years with my daughter until she's 18, out of the house. They're basically an adult by then. And then I've got, you know, my daughter by then will be a in 4 years will be a teenager. And I'm missing out on a lot of important things, and you only have these children one time in your life. Why would I be trying to go and travel and miss out on these great things and miss out on my children? The second reason is I have a beautiful wife at home and a bed that I enjoy sleeping in. Nobody enjoys sleeping in motels. As far as, you know, if you're truly a traveling, you like your own bed. But man, I love my wife. I love being at my house. I love sleeping in my bed. I love being in my bathroom. I love being on my property, and I really love it now. And so, you know, there's just some things, I guess, sentimental that I enjoy. Of course, I love my children. I love my wife. The third, though, reason is I have a church family that needs me, and I want to be with them. So preaching in, there's nobody's pulpit in America that I desire to preach in more than I desire to preach in mine. And it shouldn't be that way. It should be that way. It shouldn't be the opposite, meaning that there's no, you know, if you pastor a church, you shouldn't get up for a meeting and preach with more enthusiasm and passion than you do in your own pulpit. That's crazy. Unless you're an evangelist. And if you're a pastor, you ought to shepherd your people and pastor your flock. And so that is the reason why I've pulled way back on that. My dad gave me some really wise advice. Of course, he pastors all over, or preaches all over America. I mean, he literally does still to this day. But he told me, he said, "Steve, in your early years when your kids are small and they're still at home and your church is still young," he said, "if you continue to preach the way you did and go out, your church, it will stunt your church's growth. It will not grow. A church cannot grow when the pastor is not there." Now, I understand that God is the one that adds to the church, but I have noticed traveling preachers that are gone all the time, their churches have stayed the same for years. There's not been much growth. And that's not a critical statement. It's a true statement that if you desire these traveling evangelists, and you truly try to be, and you try to pastor at the same time, there's no man can do both. So my deal is I want to stay at the house, and I want to stay at my church and pastor those people, and occasionally maybe go and drive somewhere and preach a night and come home or whatever. Number seven is making sure I'm actively engaging in my marriage and my children. So on purpose, I want to engage in my marriage. I want to make sure that my marriage is strong. I want to engage in it. I want to have a conversation. I want to be actively involved in it with my children and with my wife. Number eight, Rebecca and I try to plan many vacations. So throughout the year, we will take a trip with the kids, maybe just a day. Just a day trip. Matter of fact, in the morning, we're going to leave for just tomorrow and come back late Friday night. But we're going to go to two Braves games and spend overnight in Atlanta. Go to both. There's a game on Thursday with the Nationals, and there's a game on Friday night with the Dodgers. There's fireworks, and then we come home. But you know what? It's making memories. You're away for just a few days, just enough to reset. And right before VBS, right before teen camp, right before all these busy things, and just spend time together. We love to spend these little mini vacations throughout the year. And then, of course, we include a week or two throughout the year of maybe a little getaway. But this is needful time for your family. Again, you only have your children one time in your life, and you're able to do these things together. And then next summer will be my first, what I would call, a sabbatical as a pastor. So I've never done this before. It's kind of new to me, but I've already got it on the schedule for next year, where I'm going to take 2.5 weeks completely together off and with my family, meaning that in the summer, next July, we're just going to take 2.5 weeks, and we're either going to go out west and spend some time. I'm going to only have my phone on for what I'd call emergencies. One person, my assistant, probably have the phone there in case something does happen, but the phone's off, social media's off. We're just going to spend time together, a truly rest reset. Because every pastor needs a time where you just kind of pull away, you break away. And I know sabbaticals are not really big in the independent realm, but they should be. It's a very biblical thing. And a lot of men burn out. They get frustrated with the ministry because they don't reset and they don't pull away. There's a time where we need to pull away. And men, if you've never even heard that word, or if you've never used that, you've never went to your deacons or your church and asked for that, and you've been at your church any amount of time, it's something that you really need to consider, because a sabbatical is very, very healthy for your family. And of course, a sabbatical can be just a couple weeks. It can be a couple months, whatever you need and how long you've been at your church. And maybe the pressure or the whatever the things that you're under can be determined by your leadership. The last thing is this. When things do go haywire or plans do crumble, as far as in your family time, your family will be a little more forgiven if you have invested time into them before. So, for instance, if we had this little mini vacation planned and then all of a sudden somebody in my church passes away, that's a pretty major deal. And, of course, their family needs me. Here's what often I'll have to do is go to my family and say, hey, plans have been, they've been changed. And you know what? If you never spend time with your family, or if you've not invested in them recently, most of the time your family won't understand exactly what, you know, what's taking place, and they may be a little frustrated with it. But if you've been doing these, what I call nine things that I've already given you, and you've been pouring time into them and spending time, and they are involved actively in the ministry, and it's not a drudgery, it's not a big deal to them, then when some things do fall apart, they're not going to get frustrated with you. They're going to understand. Now, they may be disappointed because it's something they look forward to, but they're not going to be frustrated at you for not spending time with them. Things do come up. Things do happen. And these are some priorities in my life that I have to have with my family. Now, there's other things that we do throughout the week that I did not put. These are priorities. These are things that I have to do with my family. And my family is an investment. And I want my daughters to hear this because, you know, they know how family oriented that Rebecca and I are with these you know, our kids. We're very family oriented, and we make it a purpose. And I know a lot of pastors' kids that are bitter today because mom and dad, or maybe dad wasn't there. He gave a lot of attention to the church and very little attention to them. You know, long days, late nights, counseling people, trying to see things happen, but then the kids were neglected. I don't want that to be the case. I know kids that are bitter because dad traveled and preached and never was at home, and they went haywire, and I don't want that to be the case. So I want my kids to know, hey, dad's at home, mom's at home, and they love us. They've invested in us. They sacrificed for us. And to me, that is a major priority in my life. I want my kids to turn out for the Lord and love Jesus with all their heart. And that is a huge deal for me. I hope this part, this segment of our priorities in ministry, I hope this little podcast has kind of been a blessing to you. And again, today, if you would just, when you listen to this, if you would just maybe share it, like it, comment, text, if you have my number, text me, email the podcast, and we always get it through some form or platform, but it encourages us to keep going. It really does. People are listening, and it really does mean a lot to us. Thank you for listening to the Real Vintage Podcast, and we hope you'll tune in again next week. Thank you for listening to the Real Vintage Podcast. You can connect with us through social media at facebook.com/realvintagepodcast, or Instagram at realvintagepodcast, or even Twitter at real_vintage. Also, feel free to email us at realvintagepodcast@gmail.com. And again, thank you for listening, and please stay tuned for another episode next week. God bless.